opportunity that you've afforded us to be able to come in here, be able to gather around your precious word. I pray for the teacher this morning, Lord. I pray that you put a hedge of protection about him. I pray you help him to recall to his memory the things that he studied and prepared. And I pray this morning you would anoint him to teach. And I pray you'd open up our hearts that we might be able to receive it, Lord. Bring it into our soul, Lord, and to grow from it. My Father, I pray for the pastor this morning. I pray that you would touch him. Pray you'd strengthen him. Pray for our after service, Lord. I pray you'd be in this house. And my Father, we'll be very careful about our unworthy heads and give you the praise for it. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Barry, for praying for us. Well, it's good to see you all again. We're going to be back in Romans chapter 1, and we'll start off verse 20. And so we'll just kind of go back over some of the things. Remember last time we talked about a panoramic view of we're going to be dealing with the Gentile here up all the way to chapter 2, verse 17. Then Paul begins to deal with the Jew, and all of it culminates in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so he's going to lay out his argument that there's none righteous, no, not one. For anybody who thinks that they are, then he's going to have an argument against them. If we go down here to verse 29 through the rest of the chapter, verse 32, you'll see that you're probably going to fit somewhere in one of those categories. Okay, and that's who you were before you were saved, and those things are still present with you in your flesh, because in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So you can do anything here in this list, and it has been done. And so just to kind of knock you down a peg or two, which Paul is a master at doing, just to kind of humble you again, if you start getting too high up in the clouds, he knocks you right back down and says, well, that's who you used to be, so don't get too cocky. Be not wise in your own conceits. But he says this in verse 20, he says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, the they, obviously, is the Gentile. The Godhead there is the biblical term for Trinity. Okay, so a lot of times people try to say that the Trinitarian doctrine is a Catholic thing. It is not. It is a Bible doctrine. It is called the Godhead. Okay, that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so you notice the number three shows up in his creation. It's clearly seen. Can you still hear me okay? So his creation, those things are clearly seen. I just want to bring something to your attention. Just some simple things for the invisible things of the world. Okay? Well, obviously at this time they didn't have an understanding of the basic building block of life, which is an atom. Right? And it looks like something like this. And anybody in basic science class, the center there is the nucleus, right? And then you have what? You have protons and you have electrons. Okay? And so this is a neutral charge, hence the word nucleus. It's a neutral charge. And then you have a proton, which is a positive charge. And then you have an electron, which is a negative. Notice that there is balance with three. Okay? Nucleus, proton, electron. Three. Basic building block of life. That's what an atom looks like. Okay? And so you can see that almost in the same capacity if you look at the heavens and how the galaxy and how the space is made. It's made just like that. You have a sun, you have planets that go around it. So those basic building blocks are all around us. And so if you want to look at the heavens and understand God, that's what you do. You look at the heavens. They give you a message, don't they? That's what he says in Psalm 19. But you just look right there before anybody ever knew, the invisible things of the world are clearly seen being by the things that are made. Well, then later on science catches up to the King James Bible and they start saying, well, this basic building block here, look what that thing looks like. You also have in Ezekiel, you have these wheel angels, right? Eyes within eyes. And that thing's got a center. That's where the spirit of that thing is. And it moves around with the cherubs. So that all these things, they all have correlation to the Lord. Okay, so the building, basic building blocks of life, whether it's the atom or anything else, these cherubs, these wheel angels that you see, and they have these little eyes at roundabout all over the place. And you can see those things in the scripture. And so man who says, or anyone who says that it's not clearly seen in creation is just lying to themselves. Okay, just because science caught up with it later doesn't mean it wasn't always there. Amen? Okay, so those are some simple things. And then, of course, we've got the sun, the moon, and the stars, right? Sun, moon, stars. Notice they're mentioned in threes. Well, we've already talked about the sun as being a type of who? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? So the sun's a type of Christ. Okay, we see that in Malachi 4:2. The Son of Righteousness will return with healing in His wings, S-U-N. Okay? So we see the type of Christ here. We also see here that there are three different rays to the sun, right? So what's the first one you have is you have a light ray. It can be seen but cannot be felt. You can see the light, right? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see Him, but you can't feel that. Then you have a heat ray. And then you have an X-ray or a gamma ray that thing puts out. You have a heat ray, it can be felt, but not seen. That's the type of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And then you have a gamma ray that can be neither seen nor felt, but if it ever touched you, it'd kill you. Type of God the Father. See the type in the sun? Okay? Also, what would the moon be a type of? Anyone? Be a type of the bride. Go to Song of Solomon. You'll see it over here. Notice the type of the bride in the Old Testament. Of course, it's not revealed, but we can see the types. Song of Solomon chapter 6, verse 10. Song of Solomon 6:10. Who is she that looketh forth in the morning? See, the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. Now when that church returns, who's it returning with? Son of Righteousness. Right? We're going to come down on white horses, but look at the fair as the moon? All right. So the moon follows the same pattern or circuit, okay, orbit that the sun does. The sun goes east to west. Okay? The sun goes against the world. Christ is against the world. If you're for Christ, you're against the world. Well, the moon follows that same pattern, that same circuit, right? Notice about the moon that where does the moon get its light from? Christ gets it from the sun, right? He says, I am the light of the world. And then he says, you're the light of the world in Matthew chapter 5, I believe it is. Okay, the church is down here. We are reflecting the light of the sun. But notice also the moon has how many sides to it? Two sides. It's got a light side, it's got a dark side. You got a new man and you got an old man, don't you? Amen? Okay. And so that thing, that moon is a type of the bride of Christ. Now we're going to get into some occultism here and show you how the pagan world and the Gentiles worship these things, okay? All right, and then we got the stars. All right, what was Abraham, what was he promised? His children are going to be what? As the stars of heaven? Okay, these are types of soul winners. In Daniel chapter 12, you can look at it. Look at the stars in Daniel chapter 12. Now this is all well and good. And the Gentiles understood some of the elements of this truth, but what they started doing is they started worshiping these things. There lies the problem. These are all types. They're not the real thing. But they had elements of the truth, didn't they? Look at Daniel chapter 12. These are soul winners. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Okay, as the stars. Okay, now we talked about the stars last time. Those are angels as far as doctrinally. But practically speaking, if you're a soul winner, that's a type of that. You have different brightness, don't you? The stars have different brightness in the heavens, do they not? One has this glory, another has that glory. Not everyone shines the same. Okay, there's differences. In the body of Christ, there's differences in the offices. There's differences in the things that we do, but everybody's called to win souls. Amen? Okay, so we can see that on a practical level. Go back to Romans chapter 1, verse 20 again. Those are just a few things. Okay, let's flip it back over. I'm going to read down to verse 23, I believe. We'll just get a brief overview. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Does that sound familiar? Sure does today. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So they made gods out of these things, right? So what you're seeing amongst the Gentiles, this is around the Tower of Babel, is you are seeing degeneration. Things are going down. Things are getting worse. Notice the order in which he lists those things. Look at it. It's the opposite of evolution. Look at verse 23 again. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto man, and to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. It goes from best to worst. Now look at Genesis chapter 1. They made their gods out of these things, but look what Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Who's that? It's the Godhead. Speaking once to one to another. After our likeness. Now who's the image of God? Jesus Christ. Right? After our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God gave man dominion over those things. What does man turn around and do? He creates gods out of things that God gave him dominion over. And so man is always trying to create a god after his own image, after his own likeness, so he can control him. But here's how the devil tricks you. You start creating your own god, and guess what that god does? It controls you. You don't control it. And so everything, this is nothing new under the sun, as he said in Ecclesiastes last week. Everything is just the same thing, repackaged and rebranded, put out a different way to fool you, to trick you. Because why? He knows you're not going to read history. He knows you're not going to pay attention to the things in the past, so you're going to repeat the same mistakes. Why? Because you have a sin nature. You have a problem. You're going to degenerate. You're not going to regenerate without the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, notice this. So you have a degeneration with the Gentile. That's where all of us came from, unless you're anybody in here, you might be a Jew. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Your ancestry is a bunch of Vikings. Okay, and a bunch of Celts and a bunch of Germanic tribes that were cutting each other's heads off and all kind of things. Amen. It's exactly what they were doing. Okay, so that's our ancestry. So we worship these things. Okay, now notice you're degenerating. Now go to Titus 3:5. Titus 3:5. There's two times in the King James Bible this word regeneration shows up. Here's one of them. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. What did Adam lose when he sinned? The Holy Ghost. So you have to have that thing renewed. Ye must be born again. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So, first thing that had to be regenerated was what? Kingdom of God. All right? Christ had to restore that one first. Go to Luke 17, if you will. Let's look at it in the Scripture. Luke 17. Verse 20, Luke 17:20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. See the renewing, the regeneration of the Holy Ghost? Can't see it, can you? I can't see the Holy Ghost in you. And you can't see him in me, but he's there. Amen? There's that heat ray, right? Can't see him, but you can feel him. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He's leading, right? But nobody else can see that. Okay, now, go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19, this is the second place it shows up, verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. All right, so you see a regeneration of the earth, which is the kingdom of heaven. Physical. Spiritual kingdom, physical. This happens at the second advent. This happens when you're born again now. See that? The two times regeneration shows up. Man's going down, going down, going down. Whether Jew or Gentile. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. God had to restore this kingdom, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Adam lost it. And then he's going to regenerate the earth when he sits on the throne in Jerusalem and reigns with a rod of iron. And who's going to be the head with him? The Jew. Same ones he called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, Abraham. Amen? Okay? Let me erase this so I got some room to write. All right, let's continue on with the Gentiles then. Go back to Romans 1, please. Verse 20. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They started worshiping these other things, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Okay? One of the main gods that they worshiped in Mesopotamia, where Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, which is between the Tigris and Euphrates, lo and behold, it was this guy. His name is Sin. It's kind of funny, isn't it? That's the moon god. The Egyptians called him Thoth, and he was the father of the sun god. Now, depending on the culture, sometimes the moon will be the female deity, like in Ashtaroth. Baal will be the male deity, but they all worship the host of heaven. Okay? And so if you go to Ezekiel chapter 30, go to Ezekiel chapter 30, you'll see this name show up. So this is what Terah, Abraham's father, this is what who they were worshiping. They're idol worshipers. Look at Ezekiel chapter 30 and look at verse 15. And I will pour out my fury upon Sin, the strength of Egypt, and I will cut off the multitude of No. And I will set fire in Egypt. Sin shall have great pain. And No be rent asunder, and Noph shall have distresses daily. So there's a city here that's named after this moon god right here. You see the root, Sin? It's where you get the word Sinai. See the Sin? That means to shine or the moon. See how they're following after a type, but not the real thing? Of course, they're worshiping the church over here if you're looking at typology. But we're just saying, look, you see this root? It's called the mountain of God. See how closely Satan tries to put his stamp on things? You have the real thing. What is Sinai? What was given there? The law of God. Right? But they're worshiping this thing as the mountain of God. They had elements of the truth, but they start worshiping this moon god there. Okay? So that's Sinai. That's where that comes from. And that's in that Arabian Peninsula. Obviously where Moses went down to. Okay, you can see pictures right here know if you can see them from here. Can you see this? That's ancient Sumerian, okay? Carved in rocks and stone. Okay, you see the sun, the moon, and the stars? There's another picture, if you can see them. See how ancient that stuff is? Notice the three, sun, moon, stars. Okay, notice what the symbol is. It's this guy right here. Anyone ever seen that before? Where's that at? Top of the mosques. Why is that? Because that's who they worship. So later on, Muhammad gets a hold of this guy because at that time they were polytheistic. That's who they were worshiping. But the Most High God for them was this guy named Sin. Okay? And he changes. He says, okay, well now we're going to be monotheistic. And we're going to worship him and he's going to be... It's Allah, which means the God. That's who that is. That's why there's a crescent moon up there. So you see, Islam is rooted in paganism. They won't admit that, but that's exactly what it is. All you got to do is go back in history a little bit. Okay? All right, so this is the things the Gentile is worshiping. The sun, the moon, and the stars. Not only the Gentile, but look at Ezekiel chapter 20. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 20. Everything has a root. Everything has a beginning. Okay, there's all these world religions, they have a root to them. They have elements of the truth, but not the real thing. Okay, and these things God winked at, as he says in Acts 17. Look at Ezekiel chapter 20 and look at verse 6. In the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt, into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves of the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they have rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them, in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. And he brings them into the wilderness. So this is something you don't get in the book of Exodus. You get in the book of Ezekiel about what the Jew was doing while they were in Egypt. What were they doing? They were worshiping idols, the sun, the moon, the stars. Okay, so let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Puts this thing into context as to why the Lord would say this first. Exodus chapter 20, the giving of the law at where? Mount Sinai. Notice how God judges the gods of Egypt and he puts his law right there, gives his law at Sinai. Look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Notice that. So, he says that for a reason, because what were they worshiping in Egypt? These idols. Amen? He had to get them out of Egypt to convert them. He wasn't going to try to convert them while they were in Egypt. Moses, get them out. Come out from among them, be ye separate. What's the church supposed to be? Ecclesia means called out assembly. Amen? You're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. That's what the nation of Israel was supposed to be, but what did they start doing? They started worshiping these things once again. Okay, I'm not going to go through the history of that. But you can see the correlations. You can see the pattern, can't you? Okay, and now what you see today in the church age, so let's just go to the book of Revelation real quick. You don't have to turn there. The church age starts with a church that's named Ephesus, right? Chapter 2, verse 1. What's that mean? It means fully purposed. She starts out good. She's got a few things wrong with her, but she starts out good. She's fully purposed, right? How does she end? How does the church age end? Laodicea, which means what? Rights of the people. Humanism. Starts good, ends bad. Power to the people, right? That's communism. That's what that is. That's Marxism. Okay? Starts good, ends bad. What do you see in the churches today? Well, just like Jeroboam took things that were dedicated in Egypt, which is the two golden calves, and he put them at Bethel, which is what? The house of God. What do you see today in churches? You see people taking things from out there and putting them in the house of God. And I've seen it in Baptist churches. That's right. You know what they're doing? They're trying to use Egyptian expedients to get people in the door, to get their numbers up. And the only thing they're producing is more Egyptians, not more Christians. You're supposed to separate the holy from the profane. You're not supposed to let those things out there come in the church. This is supposed to be a clean place. Amen. And these bunch of ignorant fools out there thinking, oh, well, that's not going to happen to us. Have you not read Revelation? Do you not see the practical? You say they're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but you're what? Miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They can't even see their own condition. So they did the same thing Jeroboam did. Things dedicated in Egypt, they put them in the house of God. The devil's slick, isn't he? He's slick. He plays on your ego. All right? Okay, so that's what we're seeing here with the Gentiles. After the Tower of Babel, at the Tower of Babel, right? They started God shopping, got themselves some gods, and kicked God off the throne, or they tried to. And so God confounds their languages. And this is what he leaves them to. Now look how they go down. Look at the degeneration. Go back to Romans chapter 1. So they're making gods out of these things. God says, okay. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Hold your place in Romans. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee fornication, for every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What they fail to do here as Gentiles? Number one, apostasy starts by not giving God glory. See how fornication, you sin against your own body, you're not glorifying God. That's where it starts. You know what you see today amongst people in the churches? Shacking up. That's called chambering in Romans chapter 13. That's what you see today. Nobody even looks at it. Nobody even cares. Why? Because they've been conditioned to, that's okay, that's just the society we live in, so and so. What's the book say? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Are you born again? What's the book say? I don't care what society says. Come out from among them. Amen. So not giving God glory. Number two, not being thankful. Not being thankful. That's how apostasy starts. Fail to give this, then you're not thankful, you become bitter. Well, I didn't get my way, so on and so forth. Let me create other gods. I'll start worshiping them. I'll stop coming to church. I'll stop. See what I'm saying? See how quickly that is? That's what you have there. So these folks started fornicating and doing things and dishonoring their own bodies, which was created in the image of God originally, and they begin to defile that thing. So here goes the degeneration. So God gave them up to uncleanness. So first thing he gives up, watch this, their bodies. Next thing, continue on. Look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Notice the more than. Oh, they still serve God, but they just loved other things more than Him. Isn't that true about you? Oh, I love God, but I choose my mother or father over God, or my son or my daughter, or whatever it might be. Isn't that true of us? Because you still got a sin nature. All right? More than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Notice the vile affections. Where do the affections come from? Well, they come from your soul. That's where the emotions are. Seared conscience. You see that today. People are able to sin and sin and sin and sin. Well, we've progressed. No, you're just able to put up with more sin because you have more of a seared conscience. Amen. And that's the church. Body, soul, and then watch this. And I'm not going to get into too much exposition to these passages. Read them for what they say, because I'm in a mixed company and I'm going out over the internet. You get what he's saying. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lusts one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and received in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Last thing to go, spirit. Body, soul, spirit. See the degeneration? Gave them up. Notice the body, the flesh. It allows you to understand that there's a physical world around you. You can touch things. You can feel things. You can touch, taste things, right? The soul lets you know that you exist. That's where the affections, the lust, all those things come from the soul. And the spirit let you know God exists. That's where the worship comes from. Those who worship Him must worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. If you've got a dead spirit, you can't worship God. Amen? Go to Romans 8. Romans 8 real fast. Look at Romans 8, 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. You can't please God in the flesh, can you? You can try to perfect this flesh all day long. You're not going to. I don't care if you wear dresses down to the floor and 3/4 length sleeves, it doesn't matter. You're still in that flesh. You still have the mind problem to deal with, don't you? That's the battlefield. You've heard pastors say that many, many times. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Familiar passage to 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down what? The imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See where the problem is? It's the thoughts and hearts and your heart intentions. Right? Bring every thought. So commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Seek Him early in the morning. You know what you have to get? You have to have every morning? You've got to have a renewal. Of what? Your mind. The renewing of your mind, Romans chapter 12. Because you're sin nature. You're no good. Are you getting the picture? I mean, that's just what we are. We have a sin nature. That's why you must be born again. Go back to Romans 1, please. So we see the body, the soul, and the spirit. Those things. He said, okay, and He gives them up to a reprobate mind. It doesn't mean that folks couldn't be saved. If they follow the light, we'll get into Romans chapter 2. But a lot of times, like I've said before, I've had some folks that are Calvinists that try to say, well, the sodomite can't be saved. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about a group of people before Christ who God stopped dealing with and said, fine, have it your own way. He did the same to the Jew. He dealt with the Jew and dealt with the Jew and dealt with the Jew. They didn't want him. He said, okay, fine, I'll back away. God withdraws himself. That's a type of judgment. When somebody begins to withdraw themselves and become distant from you, don't you understand there's a difference in your relationship? They're different. They're probably tired of dealing with your nonsense. Amen? Yeah, that's common sense. So he gives this group up to a reprobate mind, and then he calls one man out. He stops dealing with a group of people and starts dealing with an individual. Who's who? Abram. He calls him out from the Ur of the Chaldees, away from the idol worship, just like he called Israel out of Egypt so that they could come and worship him. Amen? So you see the same pattern. You see the degeneration, which is why you need the regeneration. All right, let's go down here to verse 29. I want to get through this chapter. Notice what happens after he gives them up. Notice what they're filled with. Being filled with all unrighteousness. What are we supposed to be filled with? The Spirit. But they're filled with all these things. With all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. That's a bad attitude. Whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Now he's going to give almost the same list in 2 Timothy 3. You know who he's talking about in 2 Timothy 3? The church in the last days. Amen? Without understanding, they can't understand God without the Holy Spirit. Covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable. That's a truce breakers. Unmerciful. You better be merciful in your judgment. They were just hard on each other. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They knew it, but yet they did otherwise. Remember conscience with knowledge? Just because you have knowledge of something doesn't give you power over that thing. The only way you get victory over it is through Christ. Because when you try to do it yourself, you go right back, the dog returns to its own vomit, and you find yourself right back in the same mess where you started. Isn't that true? The good that I would do, that I do not. That what I would not, that I do. So there's no more than I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. That's what Paul says in Romans 7, right? I know that in me that is my flesh dwelleth no good thing, because there's two natures now. But if you look at that thing, notice he says they're worthy of death. Well, look at the list. Whisperers. You mean somebody is just a whisperer? Hey, did you hear what happened here? Backbiters. Have anybody seen any of that lately? And what's the Bible say? Says you're worthy of death. Well, that's a heavy price to pay, isn't it? Well, thank God for Calvary, because every single person in here is guilty of these things. I can guarantee you that. There's none righteous, no, not one. So you see what he does with that Gentile? He puts them all into a nice little package and says, you're no good. I'm no good, you're no good. You must be born again. That's the only way up. That's the only way up. Amen? And so they're worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Many times somebody says, well, I'm a good person. I had this fellow the other day that I said, well, if you die today, where would you go? He was a homeless guy down here. Well, I'd go to heaven. Why? Because I'm a good person. What are you trusting in? Myself. Obviously, you've never read the Bible. Because if you read lists like this, it'll convict you. And you'll say, oh, woe is me. I fit in that list somewhere. Maybe I don't want to tell everybody, but I fit in that list somewhere. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, and such were some of you, but now you're washed, now you're clean. But you better understand that you have an old nature. You have an Ishmael hanging around, don't you? And if you don't kick him out in the bondwoman, and you make provision for that flesh, they'll rise up and they'll start running you. Give place to the devil. All right, let's go ahead and we'll finish there. We'll go ahead and pray, and we'll go ahead and release you. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this study. Thank you for your word. We thank you for the principles you've laid down in the Bible for us to follow, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit that enlightens our eyes to be able to see these truths that you've given to us. And they're so simple. They're so simple, but they're foolishness to the natural man. But, Father, I just thank you for revealing those things to us so that we can be godly in your sight and righteous in your sight through your Son. Not through our own works, but through your Son, We just thank you for that victory you gave us at Calvary. And Father, we just pray for the service today. We pray for the singing. We pray for the preaching, Lord. Just pray that you anoint our pastor once again. In Lord Jesus' name we pray. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. All right. Any questions? I don't want to, if you had questions, I don't want to just dismiss you and throw you to the wolves again. Nothing? Okay. If you do, come up to me and I'll be up here.